Carter. Carter, where are you? I found this episode deleted in your recycle bin, man. I know you didn't want this one to get out here, but here it is anyway. I mean, if you come back, ever come back, Carter, maybe you can delete it. Please, come back to Camden. We need you.
Like, someone who has a bad character isn't drawn to music just because they have a bad character. Oh, you're one of the normal ones, but... like, what about me makes me a quote-unquote normal one? I'm just a different type of person than they were.
What do you mean by that?
With the fact that, like, oh, I don't have a set friend group. I'm just friends with different people, and I float around, have this whole group with that, like, you label as, like, your group, where there could be problems within the group. Because you see so many friend groups that, like, everyone knows, like, oh, that's this friend group. These people are friends with only each other, but they fight all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Now if somebody, one of my friends, like, tries to fight with me, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't need you in my life anymore. Oh, man, that sounds so harsh now. Oh, my God. Just like...
It's been, like, a scenario where you, like, completely misjudged someone, where you, like, thought this person was maybe awesome, but then you go and realize that they're actually a scumbag.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club with your host, Carter Freud. Now, today, I have someone who I've been trying to get on here forever and ever, and I'm so glad that I can finally have her on. You know where you love her, the lovely Nicole Jordan. Why don't you unmute your mic so we can hear your lovely voice?
Hi.
Hey, Nicole. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited for this episode.
I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so starting off, can you just tell me, how would you describe yourself, like, as a person?
Oh, boy. I would say I'm pretty ambitious. I always... I'm working for the things I love. I'd like to think that I'm pretty kind. I like to talk to a lot of people. I'm pretty social. And I try and make the best situation out of anything.
And you say you're ambitious for the things you love. What exactly do you love?
I'm really into music and a lot of... like, of the groups I'm a part of is, like, community-based, so whether it be a youth group or a school choir or something like that.
So, you say youth group, so also religion is also another thing that's important to you, would you say?
It's definitely not the most prevalent thing in my life, but it's a nice community for me to go to when I'm having a bad day or just to have a group of friends around.
Oh, yeah. I totally see that, and... one thing I'm wondering is, I know for me, like, I started music, like, off in, like, the fourth grade, and then in middle school, I did it, and then high school, I just dropped out of it because I just couldn't fit it in my schedule. I'm curious, what was the musical experience for you? Like, how did you get into it? Like, what was it?
So, when I was really little, I was super shy, and one of my best friends asked me to, like, go to a theater camp with her. And so I said, sure, why not, even though that was totally out of my comfort zone. And I ended up falling in love with it, but I never took it seriously until I got to middle school. Like, I tried the whole instrument thing in elementary school, like a lot of kids did. And then I got to middle school, and I kept doing my instruments, but I had never been in a choir before. So I tried out just for fun, and I ended up getting in. And so from there, like, I just kept doing it and I loved it.
So you just happened upon your great gift of a musical voice just completely by accident?
Definitely not a great gift. When I was a freshman, my music director told me that I almost didn't get in because I'd never really been a serious singer before. But since I played instruments, he was like, yeah, she understands music, so I'll just put her in. So I almost didn't get in. So for me, that was like a big, like, butterfly effect moment, because if I hadn't gotten in, I definitely would not be doing music now.
Well, I feel like even though you might have not started necessarily the best, I feel like everybody needs somebody to tell them, like, you can't do this for them to like really succeed. Like I remember like in the sixth grade, I was terrible at math. Like I sucked at math and I barely got into like this advanced math program by like just skating in. Like I think my parents probably like had to like beg them or something. And the teacher said, like, you're probably not going to make it in this next program, but I'm just going to let you in to see if you like fail. And then from that was the fuel for me. Would you say that that was something for you, like, you know, desire to do better maybe?
Yeah, definitely. And then like once I was in, it opened up so many new opportunities for me to grow and really try and improve.
Yeah. And what do you think is like the best part of like that musical community, I guess?
There's definitely a lot of problems in the music community.
Oh, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
A lot that as like a lot of high school students know about, but there's this really great camaraderie that happens when you're on stage or you're really like connecting in a piece of music that I don't think you can find anywhere else.
Right. Like I think I saw my first jazz band concert, like real jazz band concert in like my sophomore year of high school. And when I saw it, when I saw, like, this guy run up on the stage and just play his trumpet, like, he came in a little bit late, like, it moved me to tears. Like, it was so beautiful. And I don't know. Music has always, like, touched my soul like that. And now, I mean, you go and you meet the person, you know, you might have a different opinion about them. But, I mean, honestly, like, music does something I feel like no other art form can.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So on the less, you know, savory parts of music, what do you think about music that like attracts like a certain type of person that may not necessarily be the greatest?
Be super into it or not be, not be the greatest?
Yeah, person.
At it?
No, like as a moral character. What can you say about that?
Wait, okay. Sorry. Wait, so what do I think about music that will draw someone that's like not a great person?
Yeah.
I don't think like an attraction to music really depends like on who you are. Like, if that makes sense, like we're all very different people, but I think like someone who has a bad character isn't drawn to music just because they have a bad character.
Right.
Does that make sense? But are you talking about like the whole like music kid stigma?
I mean, there's a stereotype is what I'm saying. There's a stereotype of music kids, you know, necessarily being like, you know, extra, being out there, being, you know, full of drama and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah,
how true is that?
Oh, that's pretty true. That's pretty true. And when I talk to my peers about that stuff, even though I am in music, I really don't like that stereotype just because no one wants to be described as that negatively. And whenever they talk to me about it, they're just like, oh, you're one of the normal ones, but like what about me makes me a quote-unquote normal one?
Right. Like there's, yeah, like an implied thing there a little bit.
Yeah it's weird. I guess some, like, well, in academic classes, we'll start with that. Everyone knows when like all the choir kids or the band kids are in a class together because they bounce off of each other's energy. So I think that's what makes them have a higher energy than everyone else in the class. But for me, for a lot of my high school career, I haven't had classes with kids who are into similar hobbies as me. So I was never super loud in a class. I was always like pretty quiet, just like there because I had to be there. So maybe it's just an energy thing with people that you know, or maybe it's an attention thing, like people just want to be noticed, so that's why they're so much louder, or because of the whole like audition aspect of the whole music community, it naturally creates like go-getters. So in environments outside of music rooms and stuff like that, the go-getter personality isn't seen as often, so maybe that's why people aren't as into music students.
Yeah, that could definitely be why. And one thing I'm curious is, in terms of play and music, like, how much connection do you see there?
Well, you get the same types of kids who go out for both. I think it takes a lot of confidence to be in both. So the more confident kids will go and try out for the play to perform on a stage, because that's what they're used to, because they've performed on stage before in other groups. And a lot of music kids are familiar with the material that the drama club produces and everything. So people like what they know. So if a school's producing like this popular musical, like obviously all the choir kids are going to go wild for it and go audition. But there have been some shows where it's something that everyone knows, and kids who have never been on the stage before go and audition just because they recognize the title and they like want to try and be a part of it, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely me. I mean, I joined a play like completely out of the blue, and it was one of the best experiences I had in my high school career. And, it was a ton of fun. I'm curious though, is that with the same group, like everywhere in music and play, do you ever feel like, I don't know, do you ever get sick of seeing the same people everywhere? I mean, like, just not being able to get away from them.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. Like, it's a lot to handle, especially because I don't think my overall personality vibes with everyone else just as much. So, like, I find myself just getting mentally exhausted because they can be so much, and they're all such sweet people. Like, they've never done anything bad to me. They're always kind. It's just a lot all at once, especially when there's like a really large group of people and it's just a lot of social interaction happening. That makes sense. But it also makes me appreciate like when I'm with different types of people, because music and play kids share qualities with me that I can't necessarily share with other people. Like, friends that I'm with from other schools, like, I can't talk about things I'm as passionate about with them as I would be able to with kids in the music groups.
Right. And what are you passionate about?
Well, if I'm talking about music, then obviously, like, music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, outside of music?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I guess I've never really thought about it, just because that's all I ever do. I mean, right now, as every other high school student is, like, we're all pretty into talking about our futures and figuring that out, because it's a whole nother, like, piece of you that you have to figure out. So I don't know if I would say like looking at and applying to college is a passion, but it's definitely something that we've all put like a lot of time into. This is hard.
No, it's all good.
I don't know. I would definitely say, I don't know if this is like considered a passion, but I definitely look into trying to better myself constantly. Whether it be like being healthier physically or like doing mentally healthier in my life, or just like trying to be a better student or find new ways to basically live my life. I don't know if I'm making any sense right now.
No, that definitely makes sense. Like, a constant, like, self-improvement is something that's important to you.
Yeah, I used to be really passionate about sports. I tried doing the whole, like, juggling music and sports thing for years, and then I was told that I had to choose one, so I ended up choosing. But, like, one of my biggest regrets is quitting sports, just because I loved it so much.
What about it did you love?
I just loved, like, the game. There was, like, for me, a big stress reliever is, like, running and exercising. So it was so important for me to have that. And it was just a whole different, like, set of people. Like, I had two different worlds going on in my life, and I really liked that because I just got to know so many different people.
Did you ever feel like you had to, like, put on, like, a mask for one type of people and a mask for another?
I definitely felt out of place with some of the sports teams just because I was, like, I'm just a different type of person than they were.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I was a little bit more outgoing than the other people were, or, like, more, like, outwardly friendly. But that didn't compromise, like, me enjoying being on the team. I wouldn't say I, like, necessarily put on a mask when I was around them, but I definitely, like, tried to tone it down a little bit, and, like, not try so hard to, like, make friends or anything. Like, if something, like, if a friendship, like, was natural, then, like, that was good enough for me, but I wasn't going to go out of my way if I didn't have to.
And that's something that you regularly do now when you're not with the sports team. You go out there and you meet people and you actively try to be friends with them, or?
I wouldn't say, like, I actively, like, try and, like, become best friends with someone, but I definitely really do like talking to new people and meeting new people and making connections.
I'm curious, what do you see yourself getting out of high school? What do you want to get out of high school as a whole?
I hope that when we graduate high school, that I have enough, like, confidence and secureness in myself to go to whatever university I choose and, like, stay true to myself and make the best out of whatever situation I'm in. Because, like, it is scary going to a whole new place with a ton of new people. And I just hope that everything I learned from high school, like, will help me as a person find my place again in college.
What's something that you think you've learned from high school so far?
I learned that I don't need, like, a set, like, friend group. Like, when I was in middle school, like, I had this really big friend group, and it was, like, the same people I'd hang out with all the time. And then when we got to high school, since we were into different things, had different classes, met new people, it fizzled out. And I struggled for a really long time with the fact that, like, oh, I don't have a set friend group. I'm just friends with different people, and I float around. But now I realize, like, that I don't need a set friend group, because then you're stuck with talking to the same people and looking at your life through, like, the same lens. But since I float around and talk to so many different people, I like that I can see different viewpoints of different things, and that in, like, my own mind, all those different people is, like, my own, like, community and not just one set friend group. I like that I'm able to find, like, a community feeling or a place that I belong in multiple places.
Right. And you have honestly no idea how, like, validated that makes me feel, because that's the exact same experience that I had, like, you know, struggling to, like, you know, create and, like, maintain this group of friends throughout middle school, and then just coming to high school, having that group fall apart, and then eventually by my senior year realizing that, like, it doesn't matter, like, just keep people around you that, like, are genuine.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like, obviously, just, like, the whole genuine thing, like, keep the people close to you that feel genuine to you and that really are your real friends, instead of trying to, like, have this whole group with that, like, you label as, like, your group, where there could be problems within the group. Because you see so many friend groups that, like, everyone knows, like, oh, that's this friend group. Like, these people are friends with only each other, but they fight all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's like, now if somebody, like, I don't know, like, one of my friends, like, tries to fight with me, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't need you in my life anymore. Oh, man, that sounds so harsh now. Oh, my God. Just like, I don't need to pretend to like you. Moving on to a different topic, because I just, like, exposed myself as, like, a terrible person. I'm more authentic now. Anyway, so how do you think you've changed from middle school to high school?
Well, I definitely got my braces off, so that's something important.
Hey! No braces glow up, I see that.
I know, right? Well, everyone had the glow up from middle school to high school.
Yeah.
From middle school to high school, I think I became really independent. In middle school, like, since I had that friend group, I felt really dependent on every single person. And then in high school, when I started to, like, branch out and, like, meet different types of people through different classes or different activities, I gained a pretty strong sense of myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm curious about is that you describe yourself as a pretty, like, socially, like, intelligent person. So do you think that, like, you're good at, like, judging people at, like, you know, I guess, like, looking at them and, like, having an idea for who they are?
I definitely couldn't look at a person and have an idea of who they are. But something that is very important to me when I look at a person is how they carry themselves.
Okay. Well, can you elaborate on that? Like, what do you mean?
Sorry. Like, for me to, like, have a good idea of who a person is, I obviously, like need to get to know them and see what different sides of them come out in certain situations, because hard situations bring out different sides of people you've never seen before. But I think seeing how other people talk to people and how they treat other people is a good first glance at how you judge someone.
Right. Has there ever been, like, a scenario where you, like, completely misjudged someone, where you, like, thought this person was maybe awesome, but then you go and realize that they're actually a scumbag?
Like, I've definitely been, like, friends with people or friendly with people who I thought were awesome, and then they would do something that made me change their opinion of them. But I can't think of one standout moment. Okay. I'll probably remember it, like, in 2 hours, but...
Okay. One thing that I want to talk about is fake people. And I feel like you are, like, the expert on fake people. Like, you know fake people when you see them. So my question for you is, what do you think... Just to get a general definition out for our viewers, is what do you think makes somebody a fake person?
Not gonna lie, when I saw that, like, you had this question planned, I was, like, telling my mom about it. And she told me, which I thought was interesting, she's like, there's no such thing as fake people. People just carry themselves differently around others. And I get, and, like, yeah, that makes sense, even though I use the term fake people all the time. But I think... But, like, I would agree with that, but just to, like, put a label on it as a fake person, I would say a fake person carries themselves differently with every single person, or they'll change their opinion on something based on who they're talking to. And when you look at this person, you just can't figure them out because you see them act so differently with others.
Yeah.
And they're just very ingenuine.
Yeah, I think that's really accurate. And, like, if there would be anything that I would add, people who are just, like, completely, and this is going to sound weird, but like completely disloyal. I know loyalty sounds like a really weird word, but I mean people who, they never stick by you when you're in your roughest moments. And I think that would qualify somebody as a not real individual.
Definitely.
Do you have any experiences with so-called fake people in your life that you can share?
There's definitely a lot because, as we were talking about, like with music kids earlier, you see a lot of, I guess, like fake, quote unquote, like approaches to how people interact with people. Like, and I'm only saying this with these types of people just because that's what I've experienced the most. But I've noticed is in my life and in like the music environment, and like so many auditions all the time and like constant ranking of like where you are. Even though like that's usually like a teacher or a director's decision throughout like the groups, people will treat each other differently to try and like get what they want or put an incentive in someone's brain to think a certain way. If that makes sense.
That definitely makes sense. Can you give like an example? Like, are you talking about like, you know, like bribing like a director or like, what do you mean?
Not like bribing, but just like pretending to be someone's friend when you want some, when you have like an ulterior motive.
Right.
Or like just, well, I guess not necessarily like bribing, like you said, but like trying like really hard to like get information from a director or something like that. Or, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you see that anywhere. Like, I remember I
had definitely anywhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes concentrated in certain communities, but, yeah, there was one time I had a friend who I thought it was a close friend of mine, and we would talk all the time, but eventually it came to the point where, like, this person who I thought was, like, you know, the coolest person in the school, like, ever, like, everybody liked him, like, he was talking crap about me behind my back, and it's just, like, it completely shocked me, because, like, you know, people do that, but you would just never expect that from this one person, and I'm talking to him about it, and I'm on the verge of tears. And I just look into his eyes and I just see absolutely nothing, like absolute dead fish, glazed over look. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? And like, he gives me like a hug and it's all over. It was just the weirdest moment ever. And that was probably, I would say, like the fakest person I've ever met. But it's definitely, definitely odd people. Anyway, have you ever been, I guess, manipulated by a fake person or by anyone? And is there anything that you can, I guess, tell us on how to not get manipulated?
Yeah, I have. The hard thing to, like, avoid it in my experience is, like, I didn't realize that I was until, like, the situation was over. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as I saw this person manipulate other people, I, like, saw the same things happen that happened to me, and, like, that's when I realized. I was like, oh, I was in a really bad situation, and I shouldn't have let myself get to that point. If other people, like, if so, like, if you're being manipulated, and if other people are, like, telling you certain things that they notice that makes them have the opinion that you are being manipulated, even if you don't want to listen to it, because if they're right, then yeah, that's going to hurt you. You could keep going in that situation, but keep an eye out for what people do tell you about, and like try and take, like, mentally take a step away and really think if that's the right path for you.
Looking back, was there any way that you could have realized it in advance? Like, did they just seem like a nice person or what?
They were a person I just really trusted, and I don't know, in the end they just let you down. I definitely could have changed a few of my decisions to keep myself from that situation, but I didn't listen to what other people were telling me, and I was refusing to face the truth.
And have you ever been pressured yourself to be inauthentic, to be fake, I guess?
I would like to say no, but also I think anyone that you would ask this question to would say that as well. Like, I can't recall a time where I remember being like, okay, like, I'm going to say this today. Like, I don't remember ever doing anything like that. I definitely have been in situations where I'm just with people that, like, I'm not used to being with, or I don't feel necessarily comfortable. So I just, like, try and, like, go along with whatever they're doing. Other than that, I remember, like, this being on, like, your Google Doc thing, right, about being nice to certain people, like, and not hurting their feelings, if, like, my opinion on that being fake, because I do think that kind of fits into your question. Obviously, like you've been in situations where you're like, okay, like, you just gotta be nice to them, like, you just gotta be nice, and everyone's done it, but I don't think that just being nice to someone is, like, putting on a mask or being fake. Like, there are certain, like, there's a moment where, like, it crosses the line, if that makes sense.
Right.
But, like, just being nice to someone, like, having a conversation, if, like, that's what they need, then I don't think that's being fake. But if you start, like, talking about, I don't know, maybe, like, future, like, plans you could potentially make with each other that, like...
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it's like, you, like, both know that you guys are never, ever gonna hang out. You are never gonna see this person again. Oh.
Yeah, no, like that is, like, when it crosses the line, you just start being fake. Like, you don't have to, like, pretend to be someone's friend. But, like, I don't think being nice to someone is being fake, because I don't think being nice should be a fake thing.
Right. And I think that's an interesting perspective, because honestly, like, the approach I've taken as of lately is basically, like, the nuclear approach. And I've always felt like one of the nicest things you can do to someone is if you don't like them, genuinely telling them that I do not like you as a person and not pretending to be nice to them. I mean, and that's just a slight difference of opinion, but, like, honestly, it's just something that I've experimented with, like, recently, because I've just gotten so fed up to the point where, like, if someone, I genuinely dislike them as a person, I don't want to fool them into thinking that, yeah, I like you, and being nice to them, I'll just genuinely not act mean, but act mean. Not even acting civil. I mean, just, like, if I dislike you, I dislike you. Unless we're working together, like, I don't want to pretend to be nice to you. I remember there was this...
Sorry, you can go.
No. I mean, challenge me on that, because, I mean, that's a pretty extreme statement I'm making. I mean...
I'm not going to lie. Like, I've thought about going with that approach as well, because there are some people who... I just really, like, don't... I'm just not on the same wavelength as them. And it's like even though you're being nice to each other, like, there's a tension. And you both can sense the tension. But you ignore that tension. And, like, you just keep trying to be nice to each other.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have thought about that approach that you're talking about. But then in high school, like, in your high school bubble, like, is it even worth it? Because, like, if I have to, like, work with this person all the time, then, like, you can't.
Well, like, let me tell you from experience, right? It makes you feel amazing. It literally makes, like, being just, like straight up telling to this person's face, like, look, I don't like you. And I don't like what you've done or what you've done to me. And you just see him like a not nice person. And it makes you feel so good. And the weird thing is, this is the strangest thing ever. People who you do this to, they'll start being nicer to you. I guess they appreciate your honesty, but it's the weirdest reaction. Or they want you to like them. They'll start trying to appease you, and it's weird. I remember there was this one person in one of my classes, and he was a total scumbag to me last year. Like he would pretend to be nice to me, and then I guess I would always invite him out to places, and never once did he even respond to the text message. And then he would go and ask me for like homework and stuff. And I'm like, this person is utter scum. And this year, and it's just like, I would just never, ever, ever pretend to be nice to him. And now he wants to be friends with me so hard. I don't get it. I don't get it, Nicole, man. I don't get these people. Human psychology, that is one of the weirdest things ever, but
it's crazy.
You got to try it, the nuclear approach, I'm telling you.
I don't know if I could ever say, like, I don't like you to someone.
I mean, just say, like, I don't think you're a good person. Okay, say it with me right now. I don't think you're a good person.
Wait, but question.
Right.
Okay. When you said that to that person, did you acknowledge your conflict?
Well, I mean, I brought it up to them. So, I did acknowledge the conflict.
Okay. Like, I feel like it would be out of place for someone to do the whole, I do not think you're a good person, when the conflict between you was never talked about.
Yeah, because sometimes, and here's a big thing, is that sometimes you build up this conflict in your mind, and with the other person, they don't even realize it at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. And you definitely have to address it. But I mean, it's just as simple as, honestly, just telling them, like, look, I don't like you because of this thing you did, and I don't want to be around you. I'm not going to pretend to be nice to you. I'm not going to pretend to like you in situations. I'm just going to treat you like the terrible person I think you are.
But I definitely do think that someone should, like, that you should always take the high road. And
sometimes that is the high road, though. Think about that. Isn't the lower road pretending to be nice to this person who you hate? And here's the thing. When you pretend to be nice to a person you hate yourself. Because you realize that, like, look, what am I?
You're not wrong there.
It's like, do I even have a backbone? I can't tell this person how I don't know. It changes you.
You've got a good point there. That's definitely something, like, that I do struggle with. Like, I go through this dilemma often.
Like, Nicole, you're a great person, but if I ever didn't like you, you would be the first to know. I'm just saying. Well, anyway, so moving on. Do you think that this fakeness is something that's specifically endemic to guys or girls? Do you think girls are more fake or guys are more fake? Or do you think it's universal?
I want to say it's universal, but I definitely notice it more in girls. I mean, it can be universal, and my teenage high school bubbled mind only sees it in high school girls, since I am a high school girl. But the guys I've talked to, like, about high school girl drama that I hear about, like, most of them that I've talked to just seem so confused. They're just like, why is that the case? Like, why aren't you guys, like, just straight up with each other about it? And I'm like, I don't know. That's just, like, how it is. So I see a very different dynamic in guys' friendships and girls' friendships. But, like, there are exceptions with, like, the other gender for behavior I've seen.
You know, I honestly hate that guys do this stuff, because guys are some of the biggest liars I've ever seen, and I am a guy.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, too, and I just don't think... like, girls notice it in, like, terms of, like, friendships.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, obviously, any girl who's ever dated a guy, like, knows that guys are big-time liars.
Yeah.
But, like, when looking at a group of guys as friends. Like, girls would never see that.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but, like, also, guys, they're not straight up either. And I'm going to be the first to call out my male brethren. I mean, it's the aspirational, you know, it's the aspiration of, I guess, testosterone guy culture to be always upfront about everything, always be upfront. But that's never what happens. Guys gossip. They're as just as indirect as girls. I guess society just doesn't expose them for it.
Yeah, I just don't think, like, the masses notice.
Yeah.
Like, when looking at stereotypes, like, definitely wouldn't notice if, for, like, some people that I know, I, like, get a glimpse into, like, the reality, and I'm like, oh, I kind of get it now.
Yeah. I'll be the first to say guys gossip for hours. I'm just exposing my guys.
I guess, like, how girls' friendships are portrayed in, like, old movies and stuff, or just movies in general, and, like, other media is, like, what makes society think that. Or maybe just because girls' conflicts are talked about more than guys.
Yeah. I think the publicity is something where you don't hear a lot about guys' conflicts, but they definitely still happen, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, finally, leaving off on a positive note, what do you think are the best kinds of friends that you can meet in your life? What makes somebody a really, really good friend?
I think a really good friend is someone that you have a lot of respect for, and they return that respect to you, and that you're able to lift each other up in your worst times and your best times. And even though, like, if a friend of yours is struggling with something that's really difficult, it can be hard to be there for them. But in my high school experience, I think you can tell who a true friend is based on how they treat you when you're at your best.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. And what do you think that friends are important for a meaningful life? Or do you think you can maybe make your way without them?
I don't think I would be anywhere without my friends, because, like, friends in your life, they provide you an outlet that's different than your family or a romantic relationship that you're in. And I think a really close friend is, not obviously, like, not equal to you, because, like, everyone's different, but they would have a better shot of seeing, like, a situation that you're in the same way you would, and, like, understand how you're feeling more. Like, I know that, like, I've talked to my mom about, like, problems that I'm having, and she, like, doesn't get it because she doesn't understand how I'm seeing a situation. But someone my age, or someone that I'm really close with, is like, oh yeah, I understand why you're feeling that way. And I just, like, your friends, like, and the people you meet, like, make a community, and, like, you need a community just to, like, survive, not necessarily, like, life and death kind of survive, but, like, just, like, get through life successfully.
And honestly, I agree with you. And the one thing that terrifies me is that, like, look, 2 years from now, maybe even 4 years from now, all the friends that I have now, I'm probably never going to see or talk to them again. Maybe 10 years from now, I'll probably never see or talk to them again. And all the conversations I had with them, all the deep moments we shared, it's all just going to be in my memories. And
I'll have, yeah, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah. Is that, how does that make you feel?
I would say, like, it, sometimes when I think about it, it does make me a little bit sad. I've been very close friends with some people for almost my entire life, and our relationships now are very different than when we were younger. And looking at those friendships, like, shows for me, like my growth throughout the years, like, seeing how we've grown together, how we've gotten each other through certain situations, how we treat each other now, how we deal with each other's problems now. And even people who I'm not friends with anymore. I look back and, like, all those really important conversations. I mean, like, it sucks if someone does something terrible to you and, like, you look back on those memories where you thought that they were so amazing. But even, like, the good friends that you had back then, looking back on those really important moments, it's sad that they're in the past and that those good moments are gone. But I think they also, like, help shape you into the person that you are now. And even though that friendship isn't in your life anymore, I think that those memories are what you really needed then to help you grow to who you are now.
Right. And I think that's a lovely note to leave it off on. Thank you, Nicole, so much for coming on.
Thank you, Carter.
Yeah,
of course.
This was beautiful, and I don't know, I might have to, you know, cut out the part where I exposed myself as a terrible human being. But yeah, it was awesome having you on here. And,
well, thank you.
Yeah, see you guys in the next episode. Just a reminder that everything said on this podcast may or may not even be true. It could all be fake, it could all be satire. But what's important is that everything on here is more real than anything you'll see on TV or Netflix. I want to thank you guys so much for listening once again, and be sure to submit your own stories anonymously to CamdenPodcastingClub@gmail.com, where I will read them in bonus episodes. In addition, if you know anyone who would love to be on the podcast who has their own high school stories, again, email at the Camden Podcasting Club email. Have a nice one, and see you on the next episode.